Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Handbags at Dawn, the show where it's actively encouraged to admit that your bag is filled with broken makeup, old receipts, and cereal bars of questionable sugar levels for the kids. If on the outside we see a leather-bound, streamlined glamour puss, yet on the inside it's all a bit dishevelled actually, that's sort of marvellous with us.
We're your handbag fixated hosts, Charlotte Edmonds and Jessica Johnson.
Jess and I have many things in common. 15 years of friendship, media-centric careers in TV and journalism, and as mums of two, an ever-increasing interest in under-eye miracle creams. Who knew an average of 4 hours sleep a night over a 6-year period could be quite so destructive? This is the one where we talk motherhood, emojis, and stick men to the soothing sounds of Hove's finest seagulls with a tremendously talented blogger.
We've gone all sorts of silly over the brilliance of our guest this week. Whilst on maternity leave from her job in social media and advertising, this mother of two decided to start a blog, bringing to life her take on the parent frontline with her now trademark incredibly funny stick figure cartoons. Word quickly spread, and soon the Hurrah for Gin site and Facebook page was entertaining hundreds of thousands of knackered mums and dads each month, and was soon recognised with the award Writer of the Year by Mumsnet and Blog of the Year at the Mad Blog Awards. These facts did not go unnoticed by the publishers at Coronet, who promptly signed up the creator to pen her first book, ready for release in October. This is the very hilarious Katie Kirby. Welcome to Handbags at Dawn, Katie.
Hello. I feel like you know more about me than me. I've never heard someone say stuff like that before.
It is all true, isn't it?
It is true, actually. Yeah. It just sounds good when you say it all together. When someone else says it, it feels less like you're kind of showing off or something. When you write it about yourself, it comes across slightly strangely. But I shouldn't be saying this.
I love one of your recent drawings when you were talking about when somebody pays you a compliment in real life and you're like, oh no, yeah. Not me, I'm rubbish. And then you go on social
Twitter
media.
Retweet. It's totally different, isn't it, social media? It's just you learn that you've got to big yourself up because no one else is going to do it.
And it goes so against the way that most people are, I think. Naturally, we're taught to sort of not show off.
It's hard to sort of big yourself up. Yeah, it's a lot easier if someone else is doing it, I think. It just all sounds cringy when you're writing yourself. In fact, I've done the same thing in my book where I said, this is the intro, I'm cringy. I can't help it. Yeah, it's a weird one.
What's the concept of the book?
It's based around the blog, really. It's a similar sort of thing, but it's obviously going to be a lot longer. It's 30 chapters and it's in chronological order. It starts from pregnancy and goes through to starting school. So it's just kind of like individual essays, obviously punctuated by lots and lots of stick men drawings.
Is it all brand new stuff?
No, it's mostly brand new, but it's incorporated some of my most popular posts too. All the early days stuff's new, so I've never talked about being pregnant or giving birth or having a young baby because I only started blogging when my littlest was about 6 months old, I think. So that's been quite fun to kind of go back over and think about, you know, the funny bits.
And as a stick man, I'm just trying to envisage a stick man giving birth or pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see anything that graphic.
Oh God, this is horrific.
Yeah, I'm never going to unsee that. The bits are all covered up.
So where did the idea come from to do the stick man figures? Because they are just genius.
It was just random coincidence in a way. I think I've always liked images and pictures. And sometimes, you know, when you're writing something, you just don't have a relevant photograph to share with it. I wrote a post about the difficulties of having children, and in it I said about one time my oldest came up to me with a little plastic knife and he said, Mummy, I'm going to cut you up. and build a house out of you.
And I mean, that's so sweet.
Yes, that's very I thought, I said, you know, there's, parenthood's really hard, but ultimately it's worth it. One day your child will come up to you and say, "Mummy, I'm going to cut you up into bricks and build a house out of you." And I didn't have a picture of that, obviously. So I drew like a little picture of my body being used to build a house in just like basic form. And then it just started from that, really. And then people seemed to just quite like the pictures that I did. And it seemed to add quite a good element of humour to the post.
I think what's so clever about your stick figures is that it makes them instantly applicable to everybody. But I look at that and go, yes, this is in my house. This is my life right here.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how your drawing skills are generally, but I'm sure it was a conscious decision to make them very basic so that it could be relevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's quick to do as well, so that works quite well. But I think the kind of rubbishness of them kind of adds to it in a way. It's supposed to be bad. I sometimes do get people, you know, trolling me, going, "Oh, your drawings are terrible." I'd be insulted. I'm like, I think that they're really good, and I'm going to go, "Oh no, someone said I can't draw.
I've tried so hard."
I know. That's my favourite troll type of comment, when the people like lay into my drawing skills.
But they're so clever because they're just such good observation of real family situations and the kind of ridiculous elements of parenthood, really.
Yeah, it's just talking about life, really. I tried to make it a bit more like a diary as such. This is what's happened. And actually, when you write down what just a normal day's like, actually a lot of people are like, "Yeah, that's just like my normal day too." And you realise that everyone's going through the same trials and tribulations, which makes it better. And then you can feel quite sad and overcome by all of the, you know, the pressure and thinking you're the only one that's going through it. But as soon as you know everyone else is in the same boat, it becomes funny.
And then solidarity.
Yeah, solidarity, exactly.
Did you read other people's blogs before you started your own?
Yeah, I did. I started reading more when I'd started writing, just as a kind of, you know,
check
sort of
out
network.
The competition.
Yeah, and networking and that kind of networking. Yeah, and stealing ideas. there's more now, like raw, like, you know, the Unmumsy Mum and Just a Normal Mummy and Eba Mum. There's more blogs like that now that are kind of talking about the raw and real sides of parenting. I couldn't really find anything like that when I was starting to write mine. So I think that's what kind of led me to do that a bit as well. I wanted to blog about the funny sides of parenting.
Why do you think there's been such a surge with that honesty and that openness about real life with kids?
I just think people are getting a bit sick of social media just being the perfect rose-tinted view of life. It can make you feel quite down, can't it, sometimes, if you're just looking at blogs or just looking at Facebook pages. You know, all the kids are so well turned out and they're smiling and happy and everyone's kitchen looks amazing, and sometimes you can compare that to your life and just think, "I'm not achieving anything. Look at my house, look at my kids, it's a state." Saying that, I do still look at blogs that have that lovely, you know, lovely pictures and the kind of rosy tinted view, because I like that too. I think it's nice to have a mix. So I think there's room for everybody. You know, sometimes people ask me and they expect me to kind of almost like attack blogs that have this kind of pretty, lovely look to them. I think it's nice to have that, and it's nice to have the real side. It's nice to have a bit of everything.
Well, it's escapism, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you think about it, when you look at your normal life and there's piles of laundry and...
Yeah.
By the way, there is none of that here. It is immaculate.
It's because I've tidied up for you.
Are you doing that thing that I do if someone comes around and like tidied up? Yeah. Don't go upstairs. Yeah. Don't go upstairs. The kids go upstairs and you don't come down immediately. There's no more play dates for you. Oh, now the mum is going upstairs to get you because she can't find a sock, and then you have to hold the mum's ankle to drag her back downstairs so she doesn't know the reality of your life. No? Just me.
Yeah, that's all of us.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you might want to go away to a little boutique hotel for the weekend. It's not normal life, but you don't want to see the same pile of laundry there, do you, that you have at home?
No, of course not. It's just about balance, isn't it? It's nice to have a bit of everything.
Maybe it's time to start talking about your handbag, Katie.
You look like you're pretty organised.
This is just all smoke and mirrors here, because it's usually a state.
What does your handbag say about you?
My handbag is messy, mostly. In fact, I've actually tidied my handbag up a little bit, because I went through it trying to see what was in it. It's mostly full of sand.
It's quite compact, actually.
I've got a bigger one sometimes out of green when I take, so I might take that to London later on, but this is my day-to-day.
What are you doing in London later, and why does that fancy bag get to go to the business?
I'm just going to meet my publisher, so talk about plans for the book.
Was the publisher a fan of yours and then approached you?
Yeah, actually, she was, I think, and they approached me quite a long time ago before I had that many followers. She was on maternity leave, and so she'd just come across my blog anyway, which was nice. So she'd been reading it from a personal perspective, and then said, "Oh, you know, know, hey, have you thought about writing a book? And I was like, well, you know, maybe. And it went from there. And then I got quite a lot of coverage on my blog because it went in the Daily Mail and things like that. And other people kind of picked it up. You know, then I get people start to recognise me or come up and say things to me. And still feel a bit of a fraud. Like, I still feel that's weird. Or people go, oh, I really like you. You're really funny. I'm like, well, I'm not funny. It just doesn't feel real in some ways.
You came from a social media background, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I've always worked in advertising. And then I got more into working in social media, particularly after the birth of my first son. So yeah, it was kind of a natural progression. I used to work identifying influencers and bloggers and stuff too, so it's like, oh, you know, maybe I could try it from the other side. I have written kind of blogs before in the past, and I've always kept diaries. I just love writing, so I didn't expect people to read this. You know, I didn't go out there expecting anything to come of it. I just thought, I'm gonna start blogging about my kids because I like writing and it might be a nice thing to do. There was no other agenda apart from that at all.
But then that's the thing that makes it authentic. So although you've got that brilliant background in advertising and social media, it's not like a kind of contrived thing where it's like, okay, well, it's this many hits and I'll post this many times and that sort of thing.
It does take a lot of time blogging, and you don't earn money from it either, really. So, well, you can, you know, but I've always been like, no, it's about the writing for me. And so I don't do all the kind of sponsored posts and, you know, reviews. So I don't really get any benefits out of it, so to speak. The benefit I get out of it is because I enjoy doing it and I enjoy that people enjoy it.
Why did you make the decision to not be sponsored?
I suppose I just felt like it would kind of annoy people a bit. You know, when you come to someone's blog, if the content's hidden between advertorials and sponsored stuff, it just doesn't come across in the same way, and I just want it to be all about the quality.
Would it still be the same if you got a phone call from Mr. Bombay Sapphire?
Hello! I presume that's how he speaks.
Yeah.
Hello, I have a lifetime supply.
I've had quite a few, and sometimes gin companies just contact me, go, I just really like your book, can we just send you some gin? Like, no agenda, nothing, just have some. So
I'm sitting here going, why didn't we think of this? You have people ringing you asking to send you gin.
Well, when I decided to name my blog, I literally decided to start it on the sofa one night with no real thought, and I said, what are you going to call it? I'm going to go, I'm going to call it like something to do gin. I'm going to call it Hurrah for Gin, because, you know, the mum connection with gin, and I like gin. And he goes, oh, don't call it that, because no brands will want to work with you. And I was like, well, I don't really care, I don't want to work with brands, I'm just going to write a blog about the kind of realities of being a mum. But actually, it's worked out quite well. Yeah. The only freebie that's actually, you know, that's probably one of the only freebies I really won.
Has your husband now got one of those hats, but instead of beer on each side and a straw, he's got a bottle of Plymouth on each side?
Yeah.
I love the blog, the name is genius.
Yeah, the thing is, although I do really like gin, but it's not something I drink relentlessly, like every night. I tend to drink wine more commonly, so gin would be more like an aperitif on it, like a Friday or something like that. So I've got loads now to get through. Loads.
The cupboards are
I'll be all right for like 2 years.
Such a difficult position. Really, my
it's
heart
terrible.
Is bleeding. It's funny, isn't it, the way that when you look in the top of people's blogs, the top of people's Twitter feeds, there's usually top three, wine or gin, is listed. It's like the, you know, lover of.
Like, I get people from America, though, and it's just not really the done thing, I think, to sort of to talk too much about. You know, it's kind of frowned upon. Apparently, people don't drink at home that much here. I just think people, it's just English, isn't it? Everyone likes drinking.
And especially when they've had kids, and you don't want to have to pay
kids,
for a babysitter. Just,
no,
you know,
exactly.
When you'd normally go to the pub.
I do get people, like, then saying, oh, you know, you're promoting alcohol too much and things like that, but I don't know, I just think I just like a drink sometimes. I don't hardly ever get drunk, you know, usually it's just I have a glass of wine in the evening. Like, some people just love to get offended, and that's the internet, you're always gonna offend some people. Who do you think you are trying to be funny about being a mum? I don't want to see that. So I get people, you know, take the time to find my email address and write me an email to tell me that I'm not funny. That's
so just
fine.
Write back,
you
neither
don't
are
need,
you.
I don't expect to find I'm funny, like, but why are you trying to make me feel bad?
You should do like a special stick man picture kind of standard response.
Yeah, I should actually. That's
really
a really
funny.
Good idea.
Like, that's a big delete
on
the screen.
Okay, that's a good idea, maybe. Or that might just make them more irritated. I try not to overthink it too much, because if I think about who I'm going to offend with everything, there wouldn't be any humour in it, because it'd just be so bland and boring. Part of being funny or comedy is that slightly saying things that other people might not say.
Your son's not going to chop you up and make a house out of you.
Yeah.
That's completely deranged.
But it's
hilarious.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. I think you've reinvented your career, haven't you, so that you can be here and work in a flexible way. We've tried to do the same thing. It means working through the night.
Yeah.
But, you know, who needs sleep? Exactly. I do. Look at my complexion. Look at it. I really need it.
In my book, I interview my mum and dad for one of the chapters on how their parenting experience was versus ours. And it's all just that we didn't know what anyone else was doing. It was harder because, you know, you had to wash the nappies all the time and there wasn't as much stuff and all the toys. And so in a lot of ways, the physicalities of it were a lot harder, but no one was judging you, no one was comparing, no one knew what anyone else was doing. You didn't have the internet and celebrities and, you know, people going, oh, we should do this, you should do that. They just got on with it and they didn't care. So it was really interesting how it was harder but easier at the same time.
And yeah, and our life is easier and harder at the same time. We have more guilt, more fear, more are we doing the right thing, more constant judging of other people and ourselves.
Exactly.
And but actually probably doing a damn good job in a lot of ways. Not every day, and not all day of that day, but some of it.
Some of most days.
Yeah. High fives all round.
Hey. So, Katie, do we think we should have a rummage in your bag?
Okay.
The first item.
Right. Oh, okay. So I had a lipstick in here.
Oh, that's a good colour.
It does stay on really well, actually.
But not in that kind of stay on just around the outside of your lips so you look like a woman over the age of 70.
And then the rest of it on your teeth.
Yeah.
Like Barbara Cartland. That's the problem with putting on lipstick like this. I don't wear makeup that much because often I work at home quite a lot. Or sometimes I'm just going to do the school run, then I come back home, then I do the school run, then I come back home. So I'm not even really seeing anybody. If you're just going to go out for an impromptu drink, your outfit's a bit rubbish or you're not wearing that much makeup, you can just put a bit of lipstick on it. Totally glams you up.
It sort of works a bit like the glass of wine when the kids are in bed.
Yeah.
Slick of lipstick. Hello.
Yeah.
I'm back to pre-kids me.
Yeah, definitely.
What was pre-kids you like?
I was in London, so I only moved down here just as I was pregnant with my eldest, working in advertising in London. I liked going out quite a lot, basically.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was, you know, I've always been quite a social person.
If you had to draw stick characters of your pre-child life, what would they be like?
They'd probably be very similar to what I'm like on a night out now. So, because I haven't changed, to be honest. I don't go out as much anymore, but when I do go out, I'm just the same. I never want to go home. I'm just always the one that's kind of like, no, let's stay for another drink. I love dancing. I love to have a dance. So I'm always on the dance floor.
Don't you find it annoying that as you get older, you have to have dinner first and wait till 11 p.m. to dance? Like, to not be frowned upon. I mean, like, you can do whatever.
Yeah,
I always want to just go and dance, and my favourite is when a club or something first opens and there's no one else on the dance floor.
Yeah,
and
you can have it all yourself.
Do the worm.
Yeah,
we do much more going out for dinner now with my friends. It's hard, isn't it, to go out, because also, you know, when you go out dancing, it's usually quite a late night, so you just don't have the time or can't spare the hangover. But on the rare occasions I do, I absolutely love it. It's such a release. It's just so euphoric dancing. I just think it wakens up this joy in you that nothing else really does.
I get those moments sometimes when I'm in the car on my own, a song that I absolutely love comes on and you can just whack
Turn it up
without anyone going, no, I want to listen to Jack and the Beanstalk or whatever.
Exactly.
That's fine, as long as we can go over the top of it, all right?
Yeah.
But dancing is important. If anyone is listening who owns any manner of clubs or bars, please introduce a Just for Mums early dance floor night.
Yes,
but starting at 8.
So I'm more for the, like, early 8 p.m. disco.
Yes.
You can have a few drinks, then get home for 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
and
still
go to
before
bed.
You have to do pay time and a half to the babysitter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Come on, someone. Yeah. The good thing about going out with other mum friends is they're often in the same boat. I don't know about you, but when I'm with friends who've got kids, we don't really want to talk too much, actually. We sort of talk
enough.
You know, we've all said what needs to be said in the past. Let's just go out.
Kind of like, this is, Charlotte, you're not so keen on emojis, are you?
Not at all, Jess. Get rid of them.
Massive emoji fan, and it really made me, when you were saying in the chicken pox diaries about how you and your husband correspond,
and
we do
sometimes.
My husband
do
and
you?
I do, and it just makes me laugh. There are some times where you just think it's too much effort to write the words and you just need the pictures to just
it sounds quite sad, but sometimes we literally just text using only emojis and you've got to try and work it out. out like a game.
It's like cryptic. It's hysterical. It just made me laugh because we
you
can't
get involved.
I can't get involved. So no, funny. I won't be changed.
The dancing ladies for a night out. I mean, words will ever.
You could just write dancing ladies.
Just the picture.
And some cocktail glasses.
And the cocktail glasses.
And some like hand
signals. Okay. Yeah. I will concede that I can see some benefit. However, when I walk past a shop who now sell emoji cushions.
No.
So they are saying, sit on my face. What is that?
No, that's wrong.
See, sometimes merchandise doesn't need to be invented.
Yeah,
that's so I stood there. The first time I saw that, my arms became heavy. And I thought, what has happened to humankind?
Yeah.
The destruction of English language.
I like all the words to be in every sentence.
Yeah.
So that's why emojis make me go, oh. So I don't belong in the 21st century. I belong in Victorian times. Anyway, that's me. So the glamorous lipstick.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you did a dress like a mum post the other day. And I don't want to keep harping on about the stuff you've already done because your fans already know about it. But oh, good God, I cried with laughter. The fact that you went, oh, no, I dress like a mum. So did my children. So does my husband. So does everybody I know. Let's immediately go to London.
It's really annoying because I think this is just more pressure that people put on mums. It's just like mums can't do anything right. You either dress too frumpy or you make too much effort. You're too perfect. Look at, you know, people don't like it if you dress completely not like a mum either. They're like, oh, who does she think she is with all her immaculate hair and makeup and clothes? No one says that to dads. No one is like, you know, dads just wear a t-shirt and jeans and trainers every day. And I think that, you know, magazines and brands and advertisers, they all play into the insecurities. They're trying to convince you to spend money on stuff that you don't need, really. That you'd feel better if you, you know, you stop being so mumsy all the time. But there's nothing wrong with being a mum. I'm quite proud of being a mum. You know, I don't care if I look like a mum. You know, why is that a bad thing to look like what you are?
I agree. And we want to be able to rock out at our 8 o'clock disco with our red lipstick on.
It's all about the balance.
The other night I went out because my younger sister turned 18 and I thought, I am going for it. So I popped on a little black dress. It was horrifically low cut. I thought, why not?
You looked fabulous.
Oh, thank
you. Saw the pictures.
Well, very kind of you. Very kind of you. But what happened, it was a big family occasion. We went to this beautiful restaurant and I had this big family table. I went down to the loo and there was a guy there that needed some assistance and I helped him. And my mum came out of the loo behind me and we got back to the table and she went, darling, that was very nice of you. She said, I have to be honest though. I came out of the loo and thought, oh, there's that dirty old man with his hooker. And then I realised it was my eldest daughter helping a blind man up the stairs. So, darling, appearances can be deceiving. And then she said, in my defence, because I was obviously horrified and went, the dress was wrong. She said, in my defence, I did think you were a high class hooker.
If I eat my dinner, can I get to the moon?
Someone is telling us we have to move on to your second item, Katie. Let's have a look in your bag.
So this is emergency.
Oh, look, that's quite a stash there.
Emergency sweeties.
The bride.
For? The children or mummy?
Just these situations where you're kind of out somewhere and particularly somewhere that you might be like in a queue or waiting or they're kicking off and you're just like, ah. A lollipop is a lifesaver, really. Because not only do they distract them, make them happy, but they also can't talk when they've got them in their mouths. It's like a win-win situation.
Now,
really.
Do you kind of add to the distraction by giving them to them fully wrapped or do you unwrap them
for
them?
No, you could do that. Actually, so you open it yourself.
Try and get into that.
I might try. That's a really good idea. Yeah, because they are hard to do.
I also have the emergency lollipops. Where do you stand on people frowning upon sugar intake of children?
I just think mind your own business, to be honest. Nothing to do with you. I suppose some people are very healthy eating, organic snacks, no sugar, things like that. But I've never been like that. I've been a bit like, slip the baby a bit of chocolate. Because have you seen what chocolate does to babies' faces?
It makes them
healthy. You know, it's like, you've only got one life, haven't you? And I just think when there's joy to be had, you should get involved.
Get
and
photos as
it's
well.
Balanced. Just everything in moderation, I think. Mine are fussy eaters though, and I'm sure quite a bit of that is my fault. I don't know. I just think there's more important things in life to worry about. I was really fussy eater as a kid. You know, I didn't eat any vegetables till I was about 25. Like literally nothing apart from chips.
Potatoes are a vegetable.
That's the only thing I ate though, potatoes.
So 25, that is interesting.
Yeah.
What was it that made you have a vegetable?
No, really. I think I just started liking a couple four of them. And I don't know. I think your body, as you grow older, it starts recognising the need for different foods, doesn't it? I grew up eating Bernard Matthew turkey burgers and Angel's Light and, you
know, Fingers Crispy pancakes.
Yeah, Fingers Crispy pancakes.
It was the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was quite normal, to be honest. I think now probably kids have a better diet than they ever have.
We're veg obsessed now, aren't we? I actually heard that a vegetable butcher has opened up in London. I was like, can you imagine going in and asking for a fillet of carrots or something?
That's just a greengrocer, isn't it?
I know.
People often just invent stuff for the sake of it. That isn't
peak
a thing.
Gentrification, that is.
Yeah, that is.
I remember there was a kid that came over after brownies that wouldn't eat vegetables. And my mum, every week she came over, would give her one extra pea on her plate and make her sit there until she ate it. So we got up to the grand total of 5 peas. So she came over for 5 weeks after brownies. And my mum got a phone call going, and she doesn't want to come over and play anymore. You're force feeding her peas. And my mum went, of course I am. Put the phone down. I went, Charlotte, you're going to have to get a new friend. She's a legend.
She's so funny.
She is brilliant. Where do you stand, Jess, on feeding? You're a virtuous veggie person. You give your children pretty healthy stuff.
Pretty good. My son is definitely a vegetable dodger. My daughter's really into her veg, so that's lucky. I don't know. I mean, again, everything in moderation, and you'll have some days where everything on the plate is beige, and then other days where it's a little bit more colourful. So it just depends, doesn't it?
And kids, one minute they'll go, I really love runner beans. And you go, yes! And you'll run to the nearest supermarket. You buy runner beans. Love them. And then next week, no, take these away. What are they? Disgusting.
Yeah. So offended.
My daughter informed me yesterday, made her bacon. She went, no, mummy, I only like bacon on Thursdays. I'm like,
bacon Thursdays?
How did you not know?
I only like bacon on Thursdays.
This is the sound of someone telling us we have to move on to your third and final item.
Right. Oh, here we go. It's just like a Lego reward card, really.
But VIP, what makes this VIP?
Oh, well, to be honest, I don't know. I think this is, I'm not that super special, but we go to Lego shop quite a lot, basically.
So your
son's obsessed with Lego. He's nearly six, so he's just everything Lego. We have them. They take ages to build. Then they get completely smashed, and then they get mixed up with all the other Lego in a massive soup, and then they never get made again. Then every morning he comes down, and you've got these big tubs of Lego, and you just hear, this is the worst sound ever. the sound of it just scatters. And it's always at like 8:30, just as I'm like, get your shoes on, we need to go. And then you just hear that, and the Lego's emptied everywhere.
Is there anything, bar childbirth, which is more painful than stepping on Lego?
Yeah, no, that is bad, isn't it? And it drives me mad, yeah. Lego, it just takes so long to scoop it all back up again. It's just the little things that really push you over the edge.
Yeah. That sort of general mess, that level of destruction that we all live with as parents.
Your priorities change. And, you know, when you're younger and you're quite carefree and you're out quite a lot, you're like, well, who cares about this? But, you know, when you've got kids and you're spending a lot of time at home, just all the little things can sometimes become more consuming, I think.
I now look at my life and go, why is it so messy? Why is everything breaking? Why is it? But I used to be much, much worse pre-kids. At the moment, I'm driving a car that I think the suspension has gone. It's like driving a Honda CR-V that has been pimped. That's really annoying me. But in the old days, I'd have done that and left it, and it wouldn't have annoyed me at all. Or this morning, I dried my hair using a hairdryer. Sometimes, and sometimes doesn't, it's very exciting, has huge sparks that fly out the back. And I'm like, oh God, I must fix this. But in the old days, I'd have just found that really amusing. I'd have quite like enjoyed it. Like, look at the audacity of my hairdryer trying to injure me.
As I'm trying to set my hair on flame.
I used to almost pride myself on the disarray of my life and be like, who's going home for dinner? No one!
It's weird. I think maybe there's more things out to get you when you're a parent. So you're kind of like, why is everything trying to get me? Feeling attacked by your kids all the time. They're kind of boysy boys. It's all about guns and shooting and killing people, to be honest.
But speaking of the kind of casual violence there associated with children, you've blogged before about the gender differences. Where do you stand on that?
I totally believe that all children should be able to play with whatever they like. So I've tried to encourage that in my kids. Like, we've got a little, you can see over there, it's a toy kitchen just round the corner. I use it to, because I make cards and stuff, I stack all my stock in there because they don't play with it. And I did have a little buggy for them, and they liked the buggy, but they liked using it as a battering ram. And
to be fair, a lot of mums use buggies as battering rams as well.
Get out of my way.
They probably learned it from me without me knowing. So I've tried to kind of do that, but no, they're really boysy, and I think that's fine too. Almost some people think it's negative to have a child that follows the stereotype, but that's just something within them. So as much as I believe in all kids should be able to play with what want, I sometimes get a bit annoyed at the fact that people look down on it, almost like they go too far. The little girls want to wear these princess dresses and they're kind of like, oh no, don't do that, because I want you to kind of, you know, not do that girly thing. But they're just kids, they just want to have fun. So if they like princess dresses, let them wear princess dresses. That's fine, you know. And ultimately, I think all kids kind of grow out of that phase too. And you don't get many teenagers wanting to wander around, you know, in princess dresses and stuff. So
you obviously haven't been to Hoxton.
Can you touch your nose on your toes?
That is the sound, unfortunately, of someone telling us that is the end of our podcast today. Thank you so much for being just the most phenomenal guest. How's your Handbags at Dawn experience been?
Brilliant. It's been really fun, actually. It's been like a nice chat.
Katie, where can people find you on social media?
They can find me, my blog's harafagin.com, and then I've got a Facebook page, harafagin, and Instagram as well. So yeah, I'm everywhere, really.
Brilliant. And your book is out when?
It's the 6th of October.
Just in time for Christmas.
Thank you so much for having us,
Katie. It's been brilliant.
Thank you very much.
We will be on Twitter and Instagram at Handbags Podcast. But until next week, thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mommy! I don't fucking know.
Yeah, you can.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.